Well, what an intense and dramatic celebration we have today, right? To say the least. It begins with the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, which begins his last week of earthly life. And look at how this king enters with such great simplicity and humility. He's not demanding that everybody looks at him like, hey, look at me on a horse with great armor and everything. Yet the people sense the great significance of this entry, seeing that he is the king who fulfills the scripture of old. And we heard the passage from Zechariah that Jesus fulfills. And so then they respond with exuberance. Jesus wasn't calling for it. That's how they respond. Hosanna. You know, every single Mass we sing that, right? And we're commemorating the entry of Jesus coming into Jerusalem at that point of the Mass. And so, yes, they respond with this great exuberance. And then the whole city, we heard, is astir, is shaken by this reaction to Jesus. What an amazing sight. This simple, holy man in the whole city is shaken by this reception. But oh, how quickly the mood changes. Jesus knows full well that his kingship has a very unique flavor and comes at a great cost. Yet he doesn't cower down, he doesn't back off. Instead, he faithfully pushes forward, knowing what is coming. Isaiah prophesies this moment very well, very beautifully, in his third Suffering Servant song. We get a piece of that in today's first reading. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. And I have not rebelled. I have set my face like flint. Jesus is indeed resolutely determined. He's set his face like flint for Jerusalem, for his passion and death and resurrection. He's not going to be deterred. He's prepared to give his back, his beard, his face, his entire body to those who want to destroy him. Let us now fast forward to those final hours of Christ's life where this becomes reality. And let us recognize that we aren't mere bystanders to these events that we just recounted. We are also integrally involved. They become present right to us. We become part of what was happening way back then. First, notice how the apostles vehemently deny that they were ever doubt, betray, or deny Jesus. Yet, they all do this one way or another. Every last one of them. For Judas, it was predetermined. He premeditated. But for the others, fear took over in the heat of the moment. We do this too when we choose sin over him, when we choose the easy route of the world over faithfully following Christ. Second thing to notice is Jesus discerning, agonizing, and praying in the garden while the disciples can't even stay awake at this critical moment. Jesus struggles forth in relationship with the Father, accepting the Father's will, including the terrible, terrible chalice of his passion. While the disciples are slipping off into sleep, they're withering away, and eventually, as we heard, they all run away. This is us many times, brothers and sisters. We so often run for comfort instead of sticking it out with Jesus in the tough times. Third, notice the silence of Jesus from Gethsemane onward. He had a number of pieces that he speaks from Gethsemane onward. He hardly says anything. But we know that he has such great faith, great trust, such confidence in the Father. Now contrast that versus the noise that we often have in our lives. Phones and things are beeping and screens and all kinds of things that we have. Noise in our heads, noise in our phone, noise all around us. And so what are we putting our faith in? We're meant to see a contrast here. Sometimes we'd rather hold on to dangerous, comfortable things like sin and darkness. Barabbas, that's what he represents. Rather do that, release Barabbas, than release the power of Christ into our lives to transform us. Again, we cling to comfort and resist change that we know his grace will bring. And finally, one more thing to pull out from that narrative Notice how Christ is focused on the well-being of others, not himself. All the way to the cross, of course, he goes and dies there. And how often are we concerned first about ourselves, if we're honest with ourselves? Getting back to Christ's selflessness and his ultimate sacrifice for us, let us not forget that the cross, as terrible as it is, becomes Christ's instrument of victory. He transforms the most terrible instrument of pain and suffering into the very instrument of victory. It's excellent. As St. Paul so beautifully proclaims, we heard it in the second reading, Christ Jesus emptied himself and came down from his lofty throne in heaven to take on human flesh. Paul calls that the form of a slave, and then humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He chose the most painful, despicable, humiliating death possible on a cross. And we see his unspeakable humility shining through here. The ultimate high, he's in heaven, and he chooses the ultimate low when he comes down to earth, the cross. He doesn't just take on human flesh. He goes all the way down. He did this for you and me, friends. And because of this, Paul continues, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. That name he's talking about is Lord, which equates him with God the Father. So now, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, of those in heaven, on earth, even under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is God. That's what Paul is saying there. This is magnificent. Very, very beautiful. Let us make this a reality in our lives and in our world, where there's often a very different and tragic reaction to Jesus, and the consequences are often all too visible. And now this leads us right back where we started with the opening gospel passage and the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem. The master has need of them, we heard, referring to the need Christ has for the donkey and her colt. The master has need of each and every one of us, too. He needs us to carry him and his good news to every person we meet, to all corners of the earth, building up the body of Christ. He's counting on us, the members of his body, to continue to build up that body. He wants to use our bodies just like he used the bodies of those donkeys way back when. This is how the darkness and sin of the world is conquered, and how people are truly united. Truly united. But it happens first within us. If we don't walk the path of conversion and allow him to transform us, then we have nothing to offer, and we won't have the strength and the courage to carry him to others. We'll wither back. So welcome him every chance that you get, especially in the Eucharist and confession. At the Last Supper, he clearly offers you his body and blood. We see that in today's narrative. Receive it to the full. Receive it to the full. Receiving God himself. And don't turn away when the going gets tough, as many did 2,000 years ago and many still do today. Instead, bear the cross with him and allow him to work through you in transforming the world. Just like him, you and I need to share in the sacrifice before we can partake in the glory and freedom that the cross brings. But please do remember, friends, that the glory far, far, infinitely outweighs the sacrifice.